You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's what I'm scared about in 2020. But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election. And he was put into office because the Russians interfered.
Russia interfered with our election, attacked our democracy for the sole purpose of artificially placing someone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They were successful.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
So that's like, what, 2 minutes and 20 seconds of Democrats, that's not even all of them, every single one of them contesting the election. Every single one of them did this. Every Democrat, there was every Democrat that did it. Every one of them. They all contested it. I mean, we remember it distinctly, and it gave start. It was one of the reasons why you saw those people rioting 2016. I mean, I remember this clear as day. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour. And we're wrapping up the week for you. On my rundown, when I was writing Biden fundraiser, I said binder, and I kind of want to keep it. The fundraiser that went last night, I was looking at the price point for some of this because, you know, those are all the people who thought that the election was stolen in 2016. They thought it was not a legitimate election. You guys remember that? You guys totally remember this. Democrats did this nonstop. They're like, oh my gosh, we can't believe that Hillary Clinton didn't win over Donald Trump. It must mean that it was stolen. That's literally all we heard. So the idea that they're going to, this keeps being brought up, particularly in the context of the Ronna McDaniel stuff, because they're saying, you know, the stuff that they say about her, well, she's, you know, she was an election denier. She never was. I'm tired of defending her because I'm not even a fan, but it's just so stupid. That they keep and then they keep bringing this up now because it's an election season, and they keep bringing it up and saying, oh well, you know, Republicans and they don't believe that the election 2020. What did you guys think that you did for all of 2016? So this Biden fundraiser, I was looking at some of the price points for the plates on this. Oh, golly, it's nut. To get a photo with all three of them, it was $500,000.
What?
Yeah. If you wanted. So the plate, to sit down and eat, you know, convention chicken, it was $100,000, you know, the everyman's fundraiser, right? It was $100,000. It's so bad. $100,000. That was the base level. That was your basic B level, was $100,000. And I think you could shake their hand or meet them for like $250,000. But to get a picture with all three of them, I think it was $500,000. Well, it was $500,000. With Biden, it was $250,000. With all three of them, it was $500,000. You know, because he's such a everyman, Joe Biden, blue collar everyman. And it's just a mess. He looked so weird. Red State had video of him walking around and on. So he was when they were on the stage. By the way, this is why Trump was at the visitation for Officer Dillard. He was at the visitation for the slain police officer. While they were there on the stage, when they got on the stage, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Joe Biden, they came up on the stage on a riser. So the stage was empty, and then from the floor, a riser shot up, and the three of them were on it. Is that not over-the-top theatrics, if ever there were over-the-top theatrics? Because it's kind of ridiculous. So they said that and I guess they raised the $25 million they were going for. There was a lot of people there. But he just moved weird. And it's like he can't move his arms well. And he can't lift his legs up to really walk well. He shuffles. And he, there was a moment in there on video that Red State has where he was joking about the Dark Brandon stuff. And he took out his sunglasses and put them on. And it looked so awkward and just stiff. It was weird. It was weird. He looked like his two friends were visiting him in the nursing home. That's what it looked like. So this was the fundraiser. And they had a lot of disruptions as well. So they had the pro-Hamas, anti-Israeli, we hate to Jews people that came out to disrupt. It was the fundraiser. They had a bunch of protesters outside. And they were yelling and screaming. And then there was a protester during the moment when they were speaking about the insurrection. That didn't happen. There was a protester that got up and began yelling at Biden. And they were saying, you're forcing genocide in Palestine, et cetera, et cetera. And other people were booing her. And then other people started shouting, and you got blood on your hands, blah, blah, blah. It's not Hamas, you stupid Hamas fluffer. You stupid terrorist bee. All these, that's what that is. You have blood on your hands. No, it's the elected government that was murdering people in Gaza. People like you support them because you're a Hamas terrorist sympathizer. I just feel like if you're out there supporting Hamas, I want to deport your ass and send your ass to Gaza. Go over there. See if you like it over there. I don't want any terrorists here. Because if you're sitting here saying this stuff, you're a terrorist. There's no gray area. You're a terrorist. You either support people defending themselves or you support the terrorist government of Hamas. And they were popularly elected and they are still popularly supported. So, you know, you voted for this. And they were taunting officers outside. Again, they were taunting officers outside, the protesters, the terrorists, screaming piggy piggy at them, all this other stuff, as you had Trump at the slain officers. Visitation. Just, you know, you had Trump at the slain officer's visitation. So, yeah. The optics are just so bad. You didn't think that was Bill Clinton?
No.
Kane didn't think Bill Clinton was there. It's a picture of Jason Bateman.
Click on that picture. Zoom in.
Yeah.
On Bill Clinton, and you tell me.
I think it's him. I think it's just an awkward
photo.
You are
just not being honest.
That's an awkward photo. Okay, they can't all be fake, Kane.
I'm not saying they're all fake. Why is it always everything
because
or nothing
like,
with you?
Biden's fake.
Like there's
everybody's
no nuance.
Fake,
like
everybody's...
there's no such thing as nuance. And
that's Bill Clinton.
That is not Bill Clinton.
That's Bill Clinton.
Okay. Well,
you can't have that many people. Look at all these people.
You're free to
all
believe
those
it.
Fame whores
I'm
that were at the
you're free
and
to
regular
it.
Whores
you
that were at the
absolutely free
fundraiser
to
last night.
That's Bill Clinton.
You know what? You can't. You it took.
You could do it.
Three people couldn't keep Watergate quiet. You think this that would be even bigger? Why would they fake Bill Clinton being alive?
You were right. It did look like some guy, Joe Biden, getting visited at the old folks' home by a couple of his friends. One of those guys kind of looks like Bill Clinton.
I'm looking at this photo, and I'm like, that's a wax museum. They're at Madame Tussauds. That's what that is. That's a straight up a wax museum. We're going to talk more about this and make more fun of it. I wanted to touch on this. I had this listed on your rundown as one of the bigger stories. Do you know the U.S. Census is changing how it categorizes people by race and ethnicity? And the next U.S. Census is going to have boxes for Middle Eastern or North African. They aren't putting Latinx on there. Every time I say that, all of our Latino listeners get so mad.
Wait, I thought, was it on there at one point?
The comments? What?
Was it on there at one point? I hope not.
No, I think, remember there was like discussion.
Right.
Like who was it? The woke scolds, the people that were like, no, it's better. It's basically a bunch of white people. They were like, no, we have to help the poor Latinos. We've got to put, it has to be Latinx. We're going to help the poor Latinos.
Of all the rejected labels.
The white saviors. We're going to come and help the, golly. So they aren't doing it. So now they're going to say Middle Eastern or North African and a Hispanic or Latino box. I'm going to riot. Where's the, you get plain old white. Why can't, you know what I mean? There's subsections, isn't there? No, just, how racist is that? That sounds racist. Like, can't you be Irish white? Scottish white? French white? They're snotty. You know what I mean?
Mexican white.
Spain white? Because Spain's Spanish people, I mean.
Right.
you know, Isabella of Castile. I mean, they had like some reddish hair. I'm just saying. So is there that? No, you just get to be plain old boring cracker. Just put cracker on the box. Just go ahead and do it. Just take white off and put stupid cracker there. Just, you know, that's what you want to do.
Happy Friday.
Burn all the things. So they said that they're doing the list of checkboxes for the peoples for their race. I mean, it's just getting longer and longer. I really need to make fun of this more. I mean, so they have, let me see. This is the, pull this up. Okay, so this is a PDF. I don't know if this is the final form I'm looking at, though. This is a PDF of what they say is going to be. So you can be American Indian or Alaska Native. And then they're like, Asian, please provide details below. Black or African American, Hispanic or Latino. And then you get Mexican, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Salvadoran, Guatemalan, Middle Eastern and North African, Lebanese, Syrian, Iranian, Iraqi, Egyptian, Israeli. They don't, you don't get to select Jewish. Yeah, you don't get to select that. Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. So down here, they do have some white. English, Italian. Really? German, Polish, Irish, Scottish.
Is this for 2030?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. I don't know if this is the final form, but I feel like there's some things missing. Yeah, it's for 2030. You're not going to see it until 2030. So this is, and I guess this is, so they said these are the revisions, but I guess this is the final-ist form that they have, unless they change it again, which I don't think they will. But yeah, that's it. There you go, guys. So they said the white definition changed, and Latino is now a race and or ethnicity. But it's not really a race. I'm sorry, but it's not. That's why I think some of the leftists call y'all white adjacent. Because it's not its own race. There's like what, three? That's it. You get three. Now we're going to make a whole bunch of stuff up. So stupid. I hate everything. Just burnt. Where's the smog? I want an asteroid to come and obliterate this planet. I want it to come and hit the stupidest part of Earth. And just you know, it's Bad Friday. Just blast it into a million pieces in the universe. We deserve it. Maybe not us specifically. But, you know, I'll take the hit just to get rid of everybody else. That's all right. It's where I am right now. You know, it's a happy Holy Week. We, welcome to cynicism. I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Powerball jackpot is now going to hit an estimated $935 million after there was no grand prize winner on Wednesday. So it's going to continue to get bigger and bigger. $935 million. No grand prize winner on Wednesday. I really want to play it.
It's like Cool Billy.
But no, you're not going to get all of that. You're going to get half of it. The government's going to take their half for doing absolutely nothing. Because it's the government. Working with your hands is good for your brain. This seems like it's obvious. They said that blah, blah, blah. Gosh, this story, can I just for a moment, whatever website this is, your writer needs to be drawn and quartered publicly. I really do believe that if you're a journalist and you don't know how to write a proper story with your balanced lead, like right there, then you need to be tortured to death, excruciatingly, publicly, for wasting our time reading your stupid stuff. basically, it's a study that it doesn't even get into until six paragraphs later, where some doctor that they don't even identify where she's from says that things like knitting, gardening, coloring, things like that associated with cognitive and emotional benefits. We get it. The story's ruined. I actually am going to find this reporter. And I'm going to bully them online. That it made me so mad. I can't stand that. I cannot stand that. DeSantis signs a bill allowing Florida drinkers to buy 15-liter bottles of wine. It's a magnum. So they call magnums. You can't. So under the law, it's illegal for a person to sell wine in a container, blah, 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 holding more than a gallon unless it's a reusable container. I don't even care about that anymore. Now they're saying that they're going to eliminate the out-of-state regulations in order to help businesses. So he's ending the squatters. He's doing all this kind of stuff. And now he's got the reducing all the regulations on wine containers. If Ron DeSantis isn't your best, wasn't your best friend, then he is now. So Italy's battling to protect Michelangelo's penis in his hind end because the iconic artwork is being debased, they said, by cash and novelty like fridge magnets and T-shirts. So Florentine officials are launching court cases because under their law. Because it's a landmark cultural heritage code they have. It can protect what is defined as an artistic treasure from anything that's disparaging or any kind of unauthorized commercial use. And so they're mad that, you know, they have like David's backside, like as multicolored fridge magnets and his male copulatory organ and all this stuff, which, you know, but it was smaller by those standards back then. Things have changed. So they said that also song lyrics are simpler and more repetitive over the last 40 years. That's obvious. Stick with us. Back after this. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, Field of Greens. And Field of Greens, it's not a supplement. I mean, you got to take your supplements. This is not a supplement, though. It's food. This is the way to eat all of the vegetables and fruit that your body needs, your daily quota, in order to have healthy digestion and healthy skin and hair and nails and your overall body's health. And they make it easy. First off, Field of Greens is super fruit and vegetables that are medically selected. These are all specially selected by doctors and they all have specific health benefits. And it's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. And it works. Antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all formulated by a team of physicians. And people notice the difference. You can take one scoop and mix it in with 8 ounces of a healthy beverage, whether it's water or dairy or non-dairy or fruit juice or sparkling water, or you can even make it into a smoothie. There are other recipes that are available on Field of Greens' website, and you're going to love it. They have a 100% money-back guarantee, but you're going to love Field of Greens. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off of your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
What else can you do?
You can do this, Bill. Look, this was $3.47 at Home Depot. It is a no trespassing sign. You could put this up in your front door, on your property line, somewhere where you can see it from the street. But this is the catch. Take a time-stamped picture of the sign. Most iPhones do this automatically. Yeah. Because what you want to prove to police is that the sign was up before the squatters moved in. You know what I mean? So you have to show that time and date stamp. That's also why video security is so important. You can show things. They broke in, entered illegally, and then you have helped take away their squatter rights.
And we've heard from homeowners who use the sign with the camera to get out squatters. So we know it works.
Yeah. Look, a lot of people have second homes. They've got property. Maybe they've inherited something that's not really right in the town or neighborhood where they live. All of this makes a difference.
Yeah, and that's when you should ask friends and family, hey, cruise by my house, you know, take a look, see if there's a car in the driveway, light on or off. And if you see something, don't tell them to confront the people inside, because as Dan's camera saw, that can get really dicey.
These just people are absolute clowns. This is local news in New York. They're telling people to not put, to put up no trespassing signs to stop squatters from stealing their homes. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you.
Is that like the no gun signs?
Yeah, like, you know, it'll stop. Yeah, gun-free zone signs.
Those always work.
I like the signs. Actually, the signs that I wanted to put up around our house, like apparently it made insurance companies nervous. Because I wanted, you can get custom made signs. You can get signs that read, "If you trespass, I'll blow your brains out all over my driveway." Did you know that? Nice. You can literally get that printed up as a sign. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying that I did it and that I was going to put it up. And then when we had our insurance people come, they were like, "Wow, you might, you know, for your umbrella plan, you might want to take this down. We're a little worried about you." I'm not saying that any of that happened. I'm just saying that you can get those signs printed up in case you didn't know or you were unaware. So it's true. Those are the kind of signs that I'm thinking of, right?
Right.
Or hear me out. You get a sign that says, "If you trespass, the aliens in this house, like from space, the outer space aliens, will kidnap you and rape you to death." I mean, that's also one that you could print out.
A lot to read on the sign.
I mean, yeah. I don't think that there's any kind of legal anything. You know, you couldn't have anybody come out and be like, "Wait a minute, our laws here don't cover outer space aliens. So we don't know what to tell you about this sign." I feel like that would work, you know?
Legally.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you can't, look, I'm just telling you, if you can't have your gun and castle doctrine and protect your property, then you got to go to extreme measures. You know what I'm saying? You got to go, like, maybe if they open the door, a bucket full of nails flies out at their face. I don't know. I'm just thinking aliens. That's the Home Alone route. But I kind of like the creepy sign. There could be a serial killer in here, right? I'm just saying. Or it might be helpful too. If you have a second home, which is, can I just say, sidebar to this, and we're going to get back to the squatting thing. I don't get that. You know what I mean? I just don't get the idea of having a second house. If I were a caprillionaire, I still wouldn't have a second house. I get it that all the people out there that are in investing right now are wanting to murder me because they're like, "Do you understand that that's a..." I know that. I know exactly what you're saying. It's just more stuff I got to deal with. You know what I mean? I don't like dealing with stuff. I don't want to deal with it. You have that stuff you have to deal with. I just get aggravated if I have like too many hairpins. I just, you know, I get aggravated. I if I have too much olive oil sometimes, I'm like, I don't know which one to use anymore. I just get overwhelmed and I don't want to deal with it. That seems stressful. I know people that have second houses and I don't know how they do it. They got to furnish them. That stuff you got to, well, they probably hire people to clean it. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just stuff you got to worry about. And then you got to worry about squatters. So my thing, where I was going with this, is that if you have, you know, a second house or something like that, you know, maybe dig a pit in the back or in your basement. Just hear me out. It sounds nuts, but it's cost effective in the long run, particularly if you've got, you know, the squatting right people laws in there. So dig a pit in your basement, right? Get a little white fluffy dog and then a basket with some lotion. And, you know, maybe just leave some DVDs. They don't even have these anymore. Silence of the Lambs sitting around.
Yeah, starting to sound...
Sounds familiar.
Cinematic.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So that way, if people come and squat in your house, they could be like, "Do we want to be here when they come back? Is it worth it? Is it worth it?" That's what you want squatters to ask. Is it worth whatever this is for me to squat this house? I'm just saying. But I kind of like some of the signs and stuff, you know, like, you know, "Space aliens will rape you to death if you trespass and squat at this house." That's a good one, Kane. You got to admit.
Yeah, it's lengthy, but effective, I'd imagine.
I'm trying to figure out mentally a way to shorten it. Like, "No trespassing, space aliens will rape you to death."
Yeah.
That's a good one.
To death part, I think, is really
impactful. As if the space alien rape wasn't bad enough.
It's to death,
right? Yes. It's because that has to be put in the obit. You know what I mean? Like, well, he was alive until he was raped to death by space aliens. Maybe it's Friday. I don't care. Maybe put on there that you know, they don't care about gender.
They don't discriminate.
they take everybody. Oh my gosh. I got to tell you. So, you know, maybe that's a way. I'm just trying to think of ways to get.
Right.
Or I mean, you could also have a helpful neighbor. Now, here's something. This is where you can get your neighbors in. And if you're a neighbor to somebody whose house may get squatted, you know, here's a way you can make some money. Have the neighbor go out when they see the squatters going in, right? And go, "Oh, fresh meat. The owner is going to be so happy. You know what I mean? And then the people going in are going to be like, are we going to get eaten? Like, what is this? And maybe just have some, you know, stuff sitting around your house. I feel like people who would try to squat me would be weirded out. My house is a little weird. A little bit.
Is that how it's referred to? If someone tries to squat me? Is that how that? Is that how we're?
What is the legalese
describing
for this?
It? Don't you squat me?
I'm gonna squat you.
Squat me.
Go squat yourself.
I got signs.
I got signs. There's some space aliens back here. Gave him some Viagra. But you guys, you see my point with this. So you have these. This is New York local news. And they're saying, yeah, we gotta just put up some notes. Did you see how, like, they were so dedicated? They're sweet little brainless hearts. They're so dedicated. You got to take a picture of your sign to keep the squatters out.
Timestamp.
Yeah, timestamp it. You got to have that metadata to keep the squatters out. Or, you know, you could do it my way. That's some balls, I got to say. I've been to foreign countries. I cannot imagine going to a foreign country. I can't imagine going to like Italy or Puerto Rico or Spain or anywhere else. I can't imagine going to a foreign country and busting up into somebody's house like that one dude from Venezuela and telling all those people to squat. Or I can't even imagine going into a foreign country and squatting someone's house. I can't imagine here in the U.S. going to someone else's house and squatting their house. Who is you? And to know that you're going to be protected by the law, that's how far all this is just such,
yeah,
it's insanity.
I'm looking up signs right now, and I think it's really cheap actually to get a sign that says, don't squat me.
I still think that I like the space alien one the best.
Yeah, that's a more of a warning sign. This
no, that's
just
a promise of things to come. Juan says this stuff doesn't happen in Puerto Rico. Juan literally typed in Slack, you'll get slapped.
You should be getting murked.
They don't mess, man. They don't have patience for that stuff. They don't have the patience for it. What happened to us? Like, we're like, oh, please don't take our homes. What the hell? How is this not like a violation of the Quartering Act?
Stranger in home equals stranger getting murked. That's literally all. I mean, that's it. I think legally I'm covered.
That sounds like Bruce Dern's rule from The Burbs.
Right.
Stranger at home means stranger gets murked. It's true. You can't do this anywhere. I feel like that because it's common sense, you know. But here, please don't take our homes. Please, we just don't squat our house and change the law. Move in the front. Please don't do any of that. I mean, not only would I shoot you, but I'd probably pistol whip your dead body on my porch, I feel like.
It's quite a segment so far.
It is quite a segment. And I hope that all my haters choke.
Good Friday.
It's bad Friday. It's bad Friday, but it's good Sunday. All right, so, I mean, you have to highlight absurdity with absurdity. And I just can't, I shouldn't have to explain that. But I just can't believe that this is what people are being told in New York. That just put this up because they're going to pay attention to that, right? Like the criminals that take guns into gun-free zones, right? Oh, wait a minute. I was going to go and do this, but there's a sign. It magically disarms you. You know that? It's like if you go like a gun-free zone and there's a gun-free zone sign. I don't know if you knew this, but the firearm that the criminal was going to illegally take into the property, it disappears. Just vanishes.
Wow.
That's the power of signage.
Oh, man.
See? And with the no trespassing, it creates an invisible force field. So you actually, totally defies space and time, dude.
These signs are super affordable.
They're so affordable.
But they do all that.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you can also pull them up and beat people with them too if they're affixed onto a stake. It's amazing. So, I'm full of helpful tips. Ask me how to protect your home. So there's more that. I feel so bad. I feel so bad for these people that have to deal with this. All right. So, speaking of like Puerto Rico and the administration of bad law. So, Kamala Harris went to Puerto Rico. Did you know she was going there? Can I be real? I didn't even know. I didn't know until I saw this New York Times piece, and I was like, oh, she went? She was there? So she was in San Juan. This was last Friday. Did you know she was there? Why do you hate women of color, Kane? They were supposed to highlight the Biden administration's dedication to aiding Puerto Rico's recovery. Her five-hour visit, she went and she visited an 86-year-old whose home was only recently rebuilt. They noted how some of the residents lack land titles, so that makes them ineligible to get federal emergency assistance. And she was trying to raise awareness for that. I don't even know what, but they keep talking about our federal government, but what about Puerto Rican government though too? But she apparently was getting, some people thought that she got heckled. They had activists telling her, Yankee, go home. I want to laugh to death. What? That is hysterical. Yankee, go home. Some of the groups chanted. And they said, listen to this paragraph. This is from the New York Times. You know, it's a super conservative publication. Sure. Yeah. And very conservative. Right. They write, in a scene reminiscent of the HBO show Veep, the vice president clapped haplessly along to Spanish protest songs that greeted her, apparently not realizing that the lyrics were critical of her visit. Can one cringe to death? What killed her? Cringing. She cringed too hard. It was one cringe too many. She cringed to death. She was clapping along to protest songs because she didn't know that the lyrics were criticizing her. Si se puede. It's just, you know what would make her trip better? Jill Biden. You know, because she's a doctor and all. Right. She can rearrange guts. Oh, wait, she can't? Oh, it's a vanity plate? Okay, that's what it is. If you can't rearrange, you're going to get mad at me. I don't care. If you can't rearrange guts, it's a vanity plate and you paid six figures for it. Hug yourself. Just saying. So yeah, they were trolling her, and she was like, "Yeah!" clapping along to it. Oh my gosh, I can't. We have more on the way. I mean, there's a lot more. We're just, you know what you're going to do today, because it's Friday and you've had a long week. We're going to make fun of everything and everyone today. I will be that friend to you. I will be the friend that says it and is mean, and you can laugh along, knowing that you're clean when you walk into church on Sunday and you don't have to ask forgiveness for anything. There you go. I'll take it all. I'm kidding. All right, we got to get moving. She was unburdened by intelligence. See, you got to say that out loud. Caltech, Florida-based company. Florida family values, period. And they make some really awesome firearms. Incredibly innovative as well. They have their Sub 2K Gen 3, which is shipping now. And I've loved my Sub 2K. It twists. And the new 9mm carbine, this Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3. So you don't have to detach the optics that you got on it to fold it in half. The previous one you did, this one you don't. Simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend either direction folds it right in half and will just as quickly and easily deploy it. Now, you also have other fine-tuned things on this super reliable platform. Some of the simple upgrades. The upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, light and 5-pound pull, upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of new upgrades just to push the Gen 3 over the top. From Kel-Tec, made in America, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You know, we're in the business of dealing with roads and bridges and sometimes ships and trains. We are not in the habit as a Department of Transportation of being in the business of dealing with conspiracies or conspiracy theories or that kind of wild thinking. But unfortunately, it is a fact of life in America today. What's really upsetting, of course, is that when misinformation or disinformation circulates, that is not without victims. Remember, this is a human tragedy. Six people lost their lives.
And also buses and trains and things that go brrr. That's where we do all those things. That was Secretary Mayor Booty Juice. And he's talking about this is obviously the bridge. And he's getting into, you know, these conspiracy theories. It's a fact.
So it's only one of two things, right? It's incompetence or the conspiracy theory. So is he just then admitting that it's incompetence on the transportation department's?
Yeah, and also, like, didn't he also help participate in the conspiracy theories? Because he pushed all the whole 2016 was a lie stuff as well. That doesn't really fly. It doesn't really make sense. All right, so coming up, my friend Jesse Waters is going to be joining us on the show today. I think he's only been on my show like one time before. I've been on his show lots. He's only been on my show one time before. But he has a book out. And I'm going to ask him if he remembers the very first time that we met in person, like back in 09, when he was doing a man on the street stuff for Bill O'Reilly. And I had just gotten Invisalign. And I came out from putting my Invisalign tray in. And I was live on air on Fox primetime. He stuck a microphone in my face at this Tea Party convention. And I could not lisp. And it was a nightmare. But it was funny. Well, I'm going to ask him about that. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. This is the best coffee that's out there. If you haven't tried it yet, you're missing out because this is a veteran-owned and veteran-staffed, and they also have some active-duty coffee company. And their mission, they support veterans and first responder causes, and they get much needed equipment to first responders as well. They help veterans fight diseases, PTSD, so much more. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They have these amazing roast profiles, and they develop those with the same mission focus they learned while serving our great nation. Every bag that is from Black Rifle Coffee is roasted right here in America. They don't do what some of these other cats do, and that they get these bags of coffee and they roast them, you know, in a foreign country, and then they bring them in and white label them and act like they do it here. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. And they have affordable choices. They have affordable, different affordable roasts. Everything's affordable at Black Rifle Coffee, especially when you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club and you choose your selected roast, how often you want it, delivered to your doorstep with free shipping. You never run out of coffee. You can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, apparel, all kinds of stuff, and get 20% off with code Dana. So try it for yourself today. Visit blackriflecoffee.com. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
It's about both. First of all, it's sort of like the Super Bowl of fundraisers. I mean, to have $25 million raised. And don't forget, President Obama, during his midterm, he was battling in the polls. He was weak. He was wobbling. And then Bill Clinton came out at our convention and gave an incredible speech and helped to turn the tide for Obama. So there is this tradition of the last Democratic president taking the stage, helping the existing Democratic president do well. And so now you've got two. You've got Bill Clinton, who's a rock star for a certain part of the party. Bill Clinton's a rock star. Obama's a rock star.
God,
getting behind Biden.
Stop saying that. Stop saying rock star. Stop saying someone's a rock star. They're not. It like denigrates real rock stars. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can find us on an affiliate terrestrially. You can also stream us. You can find us, Channel 347 DirecTV, and on X. We're also streaming on X as well. And Rumble. I think we're on Rumble, too. Mm-hmm. We're everywhere now. Everywhere. So the big, giant fundraiser that Biden had, I mentioned this first hour. Kane, did you see the video of them coming up on the riser?
I did, yeah.
So imagine the stage. Right, you have the stage, and you had Clinton, and then Biden in the middle, and then Obama, and this riser comes up very slowly. Oh, it's magic! There they are, and the three of them are standing there. I was watching this come up, And I was wondering how Biden didn't fall over because he's so stiff and he's so awkward and he can't bend his arms. He's like a Ken doll, an old one that doesn't move too well. And, you know, like Ken doesn't have arm joints. He can't, you know, he just can't bend his legs, can't bend his arms. Can't do anything. It was so awkward. And he, that fundraiser, people paid $100,000 to go, just to go to that. That was the basic general admission ticket, $100,000 to get a picture with these stooges. It was $500,000. Now think about it. If their goal was to raise Kane $25 million, how many people paid $500,000 to get a photo with all three of them?
Yeah. Well, you have to throw into account it's $100,000 just to attend, right, each. So then the $500,000 for the pick, so at least 15 people would have had at least 15 people had to.
Good night. Just weird. It's just so weird. But the left is like, oh my gosh, it's the Super Bowl of fundraising. It's so amazing. Now, apparently Trump is going to host a fundraiser also in Florida. This is from the New York Post. They are planning a major South Florida fundraiser next week. It's a Palm Beach event. It's hosted by a billionaire hedge fund manager. And he's a rep told the Post that they're aiming for $33 million. And that's what they're... Biden's was $25 million. Now, let me tell you this. I like that they're focusing on earning, like raising money, and I hope it's for the campaign. Because I don't want the legal bills sucking everything up, because you got to focus on campaigning. You have to maximize the turnout to a degree never before seen, because the left has not even gotten started with their get out the vote apparatus. The fundraising is so important, and it's important because the Republican Party's broke nationally. Many of the state parties are broke, and a lot of the campaigns are having difficulty in raising money, and they have to meet like certain quotas to keep in committees and all this other stuff. So the RNC, honestly, I have not seen giant, like particularly with Trump, I haven't seen a lot of these big fundraisers planned. He needs to do more of this because he's going to have to raise money for down ticket races too. There are a number of races in flux because they're going to be quite contentious going into this general season. They come from some battleground House areas, and we only have a plus one majority in the House right now. We've got to keep majority in the House. That is probably the most important thing, because if you get Trump in the White House and you lose the House, I hate to tell you, but you're not going to get anything done. It's literally not going to happen. It is going to be probably even more of a logjam than it is now. You're not going to get anything that you want. Now, part of that won't be his fault, but part of it will be if he doesn't also direct fundraising outreach and all of that towards down ticket stuff, because that's part of the job of the nominee too. It's tough. You don't just campaign for yourself. You're also campaigning for all of these people down ticket. And you're trying to help. That's why Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, she wasn't wrong. The media was, I don't know why. The media, they're such jerkwads. They were trying to make fun of her, but she's right. She was like, well, you know, we got to keep the House even if it means Trump has to pull us off. The fundraising is weak right now with the RNC because a lot of people are dissatisfied. And I actually do think it will take the nominee to kind of reinvigorate some of that. So she's not actually off what she said. I mean, she's, you know, you're going to require him, and he can raise money. If there's one thing that Trump can do is he can raise money. And Joe Biden can't. That's why he has to have Obama and Clinton there. I saw that. Where was this at? I think I put this in your, I did. I put it in your prep. Let me pull this up because it just reminded me of this story. Let me pull this up real quick. It reminded me of this headline that I had. I sent it out. If you are a subscriber over at Substack, over at Chapter and Verse, I had this story of the, there was a criticism of, for some reason, my Substack doesn't want to pull up. I hate everything. They were trying to criticize Trump, I guess, for not having other big name Republicans there or something to that effect. They were trying to like say that, oh, where's his, you know, this person or that person? You know, where's it's just him going to be at, I don't know who all he's going to have at this fundraiser in South Florida. But my point was, is that do you actually need anybody? Does he actually need other people to help him fundraise? I don't think he does. Whereas Joe Biden, I think, absolutely needs other people there to help fundraise with him. So I'm looking at I had it in here, what piece was this? This was like a New York Times piece where they were saying that, oh, Biden's leaning on his Democratic predecessors and Trump is isolated from other Republican leaders. So that's one of the things that they're going to try to focus on, because they want to make sure that they are in some way. And I guess we don't have Wi-Fi right now. Something just went down. They're trying to in some way further divide the right and the Republican Party. And so they're arguing that, oh, he's isolated from other Republican leaders. But I don't think that he needs that help. I don't think he needs the help at all. It doesn't make, you know, that doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. We're going to follow some of that stuff. And I'm trying to figure out now, because I'm trying to pull some of this stuff up and I'm not able to. I think we're having some technical difficulties here for whatever reason. But that's one of the, I wanted to pull this piece up for you. But you have it if you are an email subscriber over at Chapter and Verse. All right. So some of the other stuff that we're going to get into here. Coming up, we have my friend Jesse Waters, who's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about his new book, Get It Together. I know Jesse for a long time, like super long time. The first time I met him, he had only been at Fox for like a couple of years, I think. I've known him for a really long time. And I go on his show pretty frequently. Maybe it's Substack that's down. I think it's just Substack, sidebar. Substack apparently is down. So if you're trying to access that, you can't, because for whatever reason, Substack is down. So anyway, that's the newsletter. See, even I rely on my newsletter, because I'm like, wait a minute, I can't pull this up. I forgot to save this in my bookmark system. And then I have to go back to my own newsletter that I sent out. So you know that I like actually use the stuff that I send out to you. So there's that. This headline I had listed at the top as one of the top stories. This I was actually shocked by this. So you guys remember the accusations that came from a third party, an agency that had been criticizing the way that some of the media had been working in Gaza. So there was the Associated Press that had been accused of collaborating with Hamas. And there was a New York Times reporter that had been also accused of collaborating with Hamas? And because some of the photos that they had taken, they were right there when Hamas was entering through some of the torn up fences and stuff, breaching the border barrier, et cetera, et cetera. And so there were questions as to, well, how did they know the timing of this? How did they know when Hamas was going to be coming here? Because it was in the morning. How did they know when they were going to be entering? How did they know when they were going to be crossing right here? There were photos later of some of these reporters on the backs of bikes holding rockets and stuff, which kind of goes way far beyond just observing and covering what was happening, which still then raises questions. If you see a terror attack coming, do you not warn people? Or are you just, I mean, this isn't Nat Geo. What in the world? So this is the Missouri School of Journalism, and it's the Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute, the Missouri School of Journalism, and they won the world's oldest photojournalism prize for a picture of Shani Luke. You guys remember the 22-year-old woman whose legs were all contorted in an unnatural fashion? She had been stripped, and she was on the back of a truck face down. And she had been killed by Hamas, and they were parading her dead body around Gaza. They were parading her dead body around Gaza. And the photo was the centerpiece of this submission that won the photo agency. It was the AP Teen Picture Story of the Year. And they won an award for it. This photo, the photo of her dead on the back of a truck with Hamas celebrating that they had killed her, won an award. Someone submitted it. You have to submit things for consideration. They actually took the time to fill out a form because you have to explain the photo and everything else, submit it, and then they actually awarded it. So not only are they, not only did the AP collaborate with Hamas, but they made money off of the deaths of innocents with that photo and licensing it out. And now they're winning awards for that photo. How are they different from Hamas at this point? Honest question. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, because we're all going to need it, if especially with this administration. Gold Co. Go and get some gold and silver and bury it in a hole in your backyard. I don't know. I mean, that seems like it's actually better than anything else, I think. That's probably the smartest advice I could give. The gold IRA field is super oversaturated, and I don't trust anybody. And then I found Gold Co. because Gold Co., instead of just like rushing you into stuff, they're like, wait a minute, do you understand how this works? And then they walk you through it, which is super helpful. They want to make sure that you know as much as possible about how gold IRAs work. So they offer these gold IRA kits for individual buyers, and it explains the entire economy. And they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And this is, I mean, obviously, precious metals ownership is a super important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. So they're dedicated to transparency. They have unmatched customer service. They want to help you add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. So you can get your free 2024 gold kit and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as well. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I wanted to go back to this really quickly. I had this headline from last segment and I didn't get to actually get into it. Song lyrics have become simpler and more repetitive over the last 40 years, according to a study. Experts analyzed 12,000 rap, country, pop, R&B, and rock songs since 1980. And they say that most musicians have largely abandoned the lyrical poetry of the all-time great songs. They want clear, catchy stuff that grabs people's attention because we're all getting dumber and we have the attention span of a squirrel. Makes me hate everything. We're smod. I say that often because I mean it. That's why. Going into this, this song, this headline is from the British publication, The Metro. And they're saying pop music isn't what it used to be. And they're touching down on this, that they even use, like, chords are similar now, and chord progressions. Just not similar enough to, trip any, you know, copyright issues. But everything is just becoming so formulaic, and it is. We were talking about this all last night because we were watching music videos last night. And everything is so derivative now. And now they have got, cartoon characters and anime characters and, you know, animated, just, you know, basic, just all of this stuff. They create rock star persona to go along with, you know, formulated music. It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. Walmart, 7-Eleven, and Chick-fil-A are going to launch delivery drones, so you're not even going to need to go into the store. I don't know how I feel about this. Do I want a delivery drone?
I want to try it just to try it.
I don't. I don't think I want to. It's called Drone Up. It's a startup, and they're launching a delivery drone service. And, I don't know. They said it could revolutionize stuff. Everything's loading super slow, so I don't know. I'm moving on. Also, let's see here. The Air Force is suing Marriott for this Air Force airman is suing Marriott for $160 million. He stayed in a hotel. He didn't know that when he closed his door, it didn't auto lock. And he woke up being raped by another dude.
Oh, what?
A dude just came into his room. Yep. He is suing for $160 million because apparently, you know, normally if you're in a hotel and you close the door is closed, right? Not there, apparently. That's not how that worked. I don't know. Republican lawmakers are calling removing wolves from endangered lists as packs are threatening ranchers. I have a lot of friends who live in Montana and, you know, like North Dakota and Wyoming and all of this. And this is something that they talk about often because wolves, I don't think you want over hunting, but at the same time, when you do not have a balanced ecosystem, there is a real issue with farmers and ranchers because they are, they will devastate livestock. I don't think people who are, you know, in the city and don't have any experience with ranching or farming, I don't think they quite understand how serious a problem this can be. And so lawmakers, there's 20 Republicans, they're saying, please roll back some of the protections for the gray wolf, because the species population size now is, it's throwing the entire ecosystem in this area off balance. And now they're targeting ranchers and farmers and livestock. And that's super expensive. And you got to cull herds of stuff. You know, we got Jesse Waters on the way. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually think Bobby Kennedy might hurt Trump more than he hurts.
It's funny you say that. Well, we have one headline, Politico said, RFK is a spoiler, but for who?
Yeah. And you take a poll now, but I think there's a certain percent of people in the country that are just like, just F the whole thing.
F it all,
I can't
yeah.
take it, F it all.
Yeah.
And Biden is not going to get any of the F it all vote.
Mm. So, well, that was James Carville, who was, I thought he made a great point, because this is something that I've kind of wondered as well. Like, is RFK, who's he going to pull from? I don't trust any of these polls. I don't trust a single one of them. I know somebody who may have an idea, though. He's a longtime friend of mine, and he's got a brand new book out, which we're going to talk about, because he actually went and said, he says he likes some of the progressives that he went to speak with about this book. And so we're going to talk with my friend Jesse Waters about that. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Dana Lash here with you. My friend Jesse Waters joins us now. I think it's via Skype or via Riverside or whatever newfangled tech that we're using. I don't think, Jesse, first off, welcome to the show. I'm going to get your thoughts on the Bobby Kennedy stuff, but I don't know if you could hear, I was playing some James Brown for you coming back in, because I've noticed, I'm guessing that you're a James Brown fan, because I hear it quite a bit on your program. Am I correct in that assumption?
You're correct. We have a rule, only funk bumps on Jesse Waters primetime.
That's great. I remembered hearing some James Brown, and I'm like, we got to play James Brown for Jesse when he comes on the show. It's good to see you. What are your thoughts about this? You know, sometimes I think Carville's a chaos agent, I think every now and then he makes some good points. But this is something that I've been kind of wondering too, because you got a lot of voter fatigue out there right now, which I think is kind of a component of this. And I think that maybe any kind of Republican interest in RFK, I think it might go away as we get closer to November. Therefore, he might pull more from the left than he would from the right. I don't think this is like a Ross Perot scenario, though. What is your thought on this?
He pulls more from Biden. And if you put up RFK Jr. with Trump and you have conservatives or Republicans have to choose between those two guys, they're going to choose Donald Trump, especially in this situation in 2024. And if you look at the polls, Trump is beating Joe Biden by anywhere between 1 and 5 points right now nationally, which is crazy for a Republican. And then when you add RFK Jr., especially into the state polls, he pulls from both, but he pulls 1 or 2 points more from Joe Biden. And that's why you see the Biden campaign assemble this, you call it a hit squad of lawyers that are just going to try to sue the bejesus out of the RFK Jr. campaign and try to strip him off the ballot. You have Democrats trying to strip Trump and RFK Jr. off the ballot. He is a little bit more of a threat to Democrats.
Yeah. We're talking with our friend Jesse Waters. For those of you listening terrestrially, or if you're watching the stream, which we're on X and Channel 347 Direct TV, Jesse Waters Primetime and his new book, Get It Together. The fundraiser that was in New York last night, there were hecklers, $25 million. I think that he would not have raised $25 million, Biden, had he not had Obama and Clinton there with him. Maybe this is mean to make this observation, but I saw the little riser come up on stage when they were all three on stage. Did they have to nail his shoes into the floor to keep him from falling over? He looked like a wax figure, and it looked weird because Bill Clinton is old. He's old. Like, isn't he like older than Biden? And Barack Obama now also looks old, and they made Joe Biden look even older. He looked the oldest of all of them, and he's the most recent president. I just thought it looked bad.
That's why you don't like taking pictures with people who are better looking than you. You always want to be the best looking people in person in the photo. But yes, by comparison, you're right. I mean, he does look so much older than all of those people. And if this was a solo act, Dana, he gets about as small as an audience's gut felt. Because, and I say that with affection, because Joe Biden doesn't pull. It's everyone was there to see Barack. We had Johnny, my producer, out there interviewing the crowd, going in and out. And they were there to see Lizzo.
Oh my
they
God.
They were there to see Queen Latifah. Joe Biden maybe was like the sixth most important person in that room behind Colbert, Bubba, Barack, Lizzo, Queen Latifah. And that's just the truth.
Wow. That makes it look even worse for him going into November, because there were a couple of pieces this morning that I read where they were trying to ding Trump for, oh, he's doing a fundraiser in Florida and it looks like it just may be him there. He's isolated from the Republican Party. I don't think that not needing people to raise money for you makes you isolated, do you?
No, people go to see Trump at a fundraiser. He is the entertainment. You don't need Colbert or Lizzo or Queen Latifah. I mean, going to see Trump's hilarious. It's like the most entertaining thing in the world. And he's going to pivot from the primary. There's always a little dip in fundraising when you have to transition out into the general. And he's got a humongous fundraiser coming up. I think a lot of billionaires are starting to line up. But, I mean, he's also, Dana, just got $3.5 billion on paper from this IPO. So if you compare that to 25 million, I'd rather have the $3.5 billion on paper.
Yeah, that's a good point. Your new book, that is, it came out March 19th. It's congratulations, as a New York Times bestseller. Get It Together, Troubling Tales from the Liberal Fringe. So you went, this is not just like, oh, the left is crazy kind of a, I mean, you talk about their personal lives. It's not just a political thing. You say that you think these progressives, their problems really aren't anchored in policy. It's they all need therapists, and they have a lot of chaos in their personal lives that they think that they can remedy by changing policy for everyone else. How many progressives did you have to talk to? And were they like New York progressives, California progressives? Like, tell me about this.
We got 24 of them from all across the country. People who want to empty the prisons, open the borders, legalize drugs and prostitution, topple the statues. We interviewed someone who sits Indian style on the freeway and blocks traffic in order to save the environment. I said, sir, does anybody ever get out of the car on the freeway and say, thank you, I am now going to buy a Tesla and you have changed my mind?
My life has changed.
And so you realize after talking to these people, Dan, and you know how much I like gossip. I had to listen to about 2 to 3 to 4 hours of these people's personal lives, their life story. They confessed their deepest, darkest secrets, their childhood, their sexual problems, their problems with their parents, relationships, their jobs. And at the end, you figure out they're irrational. They have personality disorders. They don't have these ideologies because they read John Locke or anybody. They are people with problems, but they don't believe they're the problem, Dana. They believe society is the problem.
Oh, that's
so. They need to change society to accommodate them. And what I'm saying in this book is your problems aren't our problems.
Exactly.
And stop making your problems my problems, because it's not going very well if you look around. So we have to tell these people, get it together. And you know, no one says that anymore, Dana. We're afraid to be judgmental. We're afraid to stigmatize, because that's mean, right? So, but when you and I were growing up, no meant no. And we have to use that word.
Yes. You know what it reminded me of? You reminded me for a split second of this. There was a skit with Bob Newhart from SNL back when SNL was good, right? Like this is like when this was like in the 90s when SNL was good. I remember this. Bob Newhart was in the skit and he was a therapist, and these people would come in and they would tell him all their problems, and they couldn't stop, you know, doing this or doing that. And they're like, what's your advice to me? And the punchline was, he'd just look at him and go, well, stop it. Just stop it. And that was it. That's it.
And America doesn't say it. They don't say knock it off. I was growing up, my mom looked at me, this is dedicated to my parents, Jesse, get it together.
Yeah.
And I stood up straight and I went like this and I was polite and I did what I was supposed to do. Now we're all so permissive You know, Dana, if you want to take methamphetamine, you take methamphetamine. You know, here's a needle, here's an REI sleeping bag. You camp out outside of my business. Do whatever you want, right?
That's
and now
what, yeah.
It's the same thing.
People think that's compassion. They think that that is compassion to make people easier in this type of behavior.
Right.
We interviewed
someone who had an emotional support squirrel, and she.
I'm sorry, a squirrel.
Emotional support squirrel. She bought it on the plane, Dana. And now imagine you're sitting on a plane and the woman next to you, and she brings a little carry-on with a squirrel, and she starts feeding it through a baby bottle. She was removed by air marshals and arrested and didn't think she did anything wrong. Now, this is what happens when you live in your house and you order everything delivered and you get everything off Amazon and you stare at a screen all day and you think you're the king or the queen of the castle. And then you go out into society and you're like an antisocial animal. And now society tells you, you can't do that. And now they believe that they're being oppressed by society. They're the victim. When we're just saying, no, you can't have emotional support squirrels and coach.
Yeah, they'll eat your face off if they get mad. I mean, it's a squirrel. It's not like it's specifically trained to do tasks. That's not
it's a wild animal.
Right? I don't understand that whole classification. We're talking to our friend Jesse Waters, his new book, Get It Together. I don't know if you remember this. The first time I met you in person, it was in Nashville. And you were doing Man on the Street interviews at the very first Tea Party convention. And I remember when I went down there, I had no idea what to expect. We were all just supposed to kind of get together. And this was still when conservatives didn't really know how to like protest or anything. We really didn't know what the hell we were doing. And we all came together. And I think Palin was speaking at this event. And I you probably don't remember this aspect of it. I had just gotten Invisalign, right? And when you just get Invisalign, you talk like you have the world's worst lisp. And I had just put my trays in. And I came out and you were there with the camera and the light was on and you were talking to tea partiers. And I walked by you and you said, hey, and we kind of knew each other. And the next thing I knew, I was on live national television with you. And I had never tried to enunciate my words harder in my entire life. And I don't know if like you knew that I sounded ridiculous or not. Like you played it off real cool. But in my head, I sounded like the stupidest person on earth with these giant plastic. I wasn't used to it. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I remember doing the interview, but I didn't remember you had Invisalign. And, that is such a female comment. Like, oh, you must have realized that I was
talking
struggling
like this
with my Invisalign. No, Dana. Guys don't pay attention to much.
I was like, Jesse, thanks so much for talking to me. It's so great talking to you, Jesse. I was just not even like...
I was just excited because I had interviewed Dana Lash. I didn't know what was going on. But that was the best time on earth. That was the beginning of the Tea Party movement. You had some swashbuckling Breitbart people running around. Bannon was there, and it was such a fun time because it was so fresh.
And there were
no
rules.
We didn't know what was happening, but we knew there was some energy happening, and we were part of something real. And you were on the ground floor of that. And it was probably one of the coolest times in the conservative movement in this generation.
I completely agree with you. And I'm glad that you remember it that way as well, because I think a lot of people, they just don't realize how cool it was and how we got, because I say, you know, to people all the time, I don't think we would have had Trump without that movement, because I think everyone was locked into, well, we have to have very, you know, stuffed shirt, buttoned up, moderate kind of, you know, very Bush-like, no offense to the Bushes or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like there was a typical Republican strategy, formula, message, candidate, the whole nine yards. And I think without that movement, we would have stayed locked into that. Do you agree?
That we were reborn in that movement. And also you had the entire media landscape change. We were starting to blog.
Yeah.
And there were all of these new websites. Because before, I mean, it was just newspapers. This was before Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody had their little websites and their little videos and everyone. And so you were getting really grassroots, cutting edge material from these bloggers. And from these people, I mean, we even had little video cameras. Yes. I don't even think we had iPhones back then.
Yeah, the phones did not have that good capability. No, it was like everybody had the little handheld. The smaller it was, the cooler you were. Yeah, everybody
You're
had
right.
those.
It was more expensive.
That was such a fun time. And that was, yeah, and that event, that's really, you know, kick-started everything. Jesse Waters prime time. Always appreciate going on the show with you, by the way. I think that you cover the funnest way, the best topics, and you do such a good job. And my kids are huge fans of yours, by the way, and they don't care that I do radio or anything that I do. They're just like, oh, you're talking to Jesse? We'll actually watch you for once in our lives. So there we go.
Well,
so
my kids don't watch me at all. So
you'll always be the dork as the parent. In his new book, Get It Together, which is out now. Jesse, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks so much, Dana. See you on primetime soon.
Yes, sir.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Courtesy of Florida woman Amber, who sent this over. this dude was named Yoda, and he robbed a house. Literally, his name's Yoda. The headline says, "Rob this house, you will not." Yoda was arrested for a break-in. A Coral Springs family, it was a thwarted attempted burglary. This was just a couple of days ago. Coral Springs police responded to an attempted burglary call. The caller heard suspicious noises. The dude is literally his 30-year-old dude named Yoda. No, he was not a Jedi, clearly. But they arrested him. But the fact that the dude's name's Yoda is... Maybe it's because I'm mentally 12. I don't know. I just find that fascinating, and I think it's hysterical. A Florida man was sick of caring for his friend's cats, and then so he killed him. The dude's name is Ian Bender. He's charged with 7 counts of animal cruelty. Yeah, he is accused of he surrendered 7 cats to an animal shelter because he was sick and tired of caring for them, but apparently he had already not cared for them to the point of where they were at death's door by the time he... surrender them to the shelter. So of the 7, only 1 survived. That's so sad. And so he's being charged with animal cruelty. Minnesota Twins draft pick Travis Adams saves a Florida man from a house fire. He was in the area for spring training. And according to WINK in Fort Myers, the fire department got a call of a house fire, and Adams was staying nearby. He heard a loud bang, immediately took action. And he says, I kind of ran in and asked if anyone was in the house and whatnot. He's so like casual about it, you know. And he says, no one knew me. And the guy, you know, he's like, he just went in and was helping get people out. That's awesome. I love that story. Stick with us. Third hour on the way, folks.
And leaders from Jackson, Mississippi, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Durham, St. Louis, and more meeting Wednesday and Thursday to talk crime and solutions. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she's taking back strategies used in Atlanta for nightclub owners and eyeing ways to reduce crimes around convenience stores.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations, so how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime? And then some of the things that we're already doing, we're finding that other mayors are doing as well.
Discussions with the Council on Criminal Justice. And
so the St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says that it's the business owner's responsibility for the crime. This is Kane and Maya's hometown, by the way. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast, and you can watch the live stream as well, the simulcast of the radio show, Channel 347, DirecTV, X. It's all over everywhere. So she's saying that it's the business is accountable. Now, I've lived in downtown St. Louis. I lived there for a number of years. What are the business owners? So she's accusing the business owners of like inciting crime. Kane, what are they doing to encourage crime?
Existing? I have no idea.
What accountability do they bear in this?
The only thing I can think of.
I'm trying to understand it from her perspective.
Yeah, that's
and I can't.
Me too. I'm guessing she's talking about insurances that businesses have to have. And I guess she's trying to lean on that instead of actually, you know, acknowledge the problem, which is the recidivism, because they don't put away the people that should be put away. They let them out. So it's really a problem of city leadership. Has nothing to do with these businesses, but here we are.
That's so weird to me. It's just a weird way that she puts this, because it's, I mean, I can't imagine how you would, I remember the gas station, they used it as a police substation, but they still had issues. You remember Arsenal and 55 came? Oh, yeah. It was like a Shell station. There always was problems up there. And that's even with it being used as a substation for STLPD. And it's directly across the highway from the brewery up there. So the brewery, if you're driving north through St. Louis, going north on, you know, I-55, you have the huge Anheuser-Busch brewery on the right side, and then the Mississippi River's right there. And then on the separated from the by the interstate, on the other side, you have like Soulard and Benton Park and McKinley Heights, which is where I lived. And that there was that gas station. There were always like a couple of spots that were just really, I think that there had been a lot of, it was a lot of drug activity and stuff would go wrong and people would get shot and all this stuff. But I'm trying to see how in the world that's like the problem, for instance, of that gas station or any of these other businesses, because these businesses, they're not encouraging crime simply by opening and either selling goods or services. They're not, or food. They're not, that I don't understand how that is in any way, seen as though they're encouraging crime. Do you know what encourages crime? Was it, it was like, what, a year ago? Let me pull this up. I think I wrote a piece about this. It was a year ago, and it was on Cherokee Street. And do you remember the shooting that was on tape? Yeah, this was, oh my gosh, this was almost like a year to the day that this happened. So in broad daylight, it was during a festival in Cherokee Street, Cinco de Mayo. And so this area is, Cherokee Street is like right by exactly what I was just, what Kane and I were just talking about with this gas station. And they've been trying to bring businesses back and rehab a lot of the buildings there. Because I have to say, sidebar, St. Louis has some of the most amazing architecture in the nation. It's called Brick City for a reason. St. Louis wire cut brick was so sought after. There are a lot of places in Europe that are built with St. Louis wire cut brick. It was the best brick in the world. And that's why so many buildings are made with that brick. Like Anheuser-Busch is like a fortress of this. And when we rehabbed a house that we lived in downtown St. Louis, and my husband rehabbed a building for a studio that he, because he was involved in music before he got blacklisted. I mean, we were told, I don't know how many times, that you could sell the brick that the building is made out of, and you would get more for selling the brick than the, like almost double more than the property itself. That's how like expensive and sought after that brick was and still is. So that's why, you know, a lot of people were wanting to rehab and they were trying to get back to those architectural roots in St. Louis. And, you know, I like the history of the city and, you know, Mississippi River. And, you know, I liked, you know, when I was younger, I liked being downtown and being in the middle of everything and all that stuff. And I, you know, when I started working radio and I needed to be close to work, my husband did too. But the crime was a problem, you know, and Cherokee Street, the crime was a problem. And it's just a beautiful street. The crime makes it ugly. I mean, you got gangbangers and drug dealers, and then you have different gangs that are constantly warring with each other. I mean, you can't be out and about. I had a neighbor telling me her daughter at one point was out and about eating. There was a great Mexican restaurant that used to be on Cherokee Street. I don't know if it's still there. Her and her granddaughter were out and they were eating with our friends at this restaurant, and like a gang battle broke out literally in broad daylight in the middle of the damn street. Like there was like one gang member that saw another gang member who apparently was on a block that he shouldn't be on, and all hell broke loose. I mean, it's like that. It was like that crazy. You want to talk about Wild West? It was like that. And so they've been slowly trying to revitalize it, but it's really hard to revitalize the area when you have judicial rot, when you have the same Democrat city leadership that keeps perpetuating the crime. And then, you know what they do? They try to offset the lack of like foot traffic and the lack of, you know, businesses and everything else by increasing taxes. And then they passed an earnings tax. So if you lived in the city, you paid a higher tax. If you worked in the city, you paid a tax. You paid a tax just for working in downtown St. Louis. If you lived out in the county, you had to pay an extra tax just because you worked in the city. It was a sin tax of committing the sin of working in downtown St. Louis. This is what Democrats passed. They had all of these ridiculous restrictions and regulations about everything, opening businesses. I mean, my gosh, I think it's probably easier to start and open a business in damn France than it was in St. Louis at one point. And so this comes to my point here. This story, a year ago, Cinco de Mayo Festival, five people were shot and killed and eight others injured. And it was all caught on tape, broad daylight. It is on tape. There is a woman and a man. You can see their faces. One of them's in a Cardinals jersey. One of them's in an Adidas hoodie. And they are, I can tell you the shoes they're wearing. I can read the lettering on the signs that the St. Louis Metropolitan Police put out. They had this. This was about a year ago. These suspects, and it was all caught on broad daylight. There was video of it, photos of it, and these two. I mean, you can see them. The video and the photos capture them drawing, and literally squeezing the trigger. And in one of them, you can see the bullet come out. They weren't charged. Charges were dropped. I'm not making this up. Charges were dropped. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And it was all in broad daylight. So many witnesses. The circuit attorney refused. This was May 10th. They released the suspects. They said there was a lack of evidence, so they refused to press charges. I am not making this up. So they had the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office. They said, quote, we're working closely with police. We can't comment further. But they had, they refused all the charges, the Circuit Attorney's Office. That was it. Five people dead. Broad daylight. Kane, you see the photos and video. No evidence, Kane. There wasn't enough evidence, they said. I don't understand. There's not enough evidence to charge the people caught on video and photo shooting people. Broad daylight.
Were they looking for different evidence? Like maybe less incriminating?
Yeah, I don't know.
Evidence?
This is what I'm talking about. Circuit attorney will not prosecute. Mayor's office doesn't, because this is under her purview, it's the St. Louis City. Their mayor is Tashara Jones. Nothing. But it's the business's fault. The businesses that were there, I guess, lying in the streets for Cinco de Mayo, it's their fault for being there, huh? This is exactly what it's just asinine to me. And then they wonder why they can't get people to stay and live in the city. We left the city. We were already going to leave the city before we ended up coming to Texas. And it was sad. I mean, I had a lot of friends there. Everybody left the city. And it just, because you have lawmakers like this that refuse to do what's necessary. And the thing is this, the other thing too, this might shock the left. It's not a black or white issue. That's the thing. And I wish Republicans, especially going into inner city or urban areas, I wish that they'd practice this messaging. Because where we lived, I mean, if I'm being frank, we were one of two white families on our street. And we liked our neighbors. We got along with everybody. I mean, we loved our neighbors. And our neighbors were like, we hate what the mayor's doing. We hate the fact that the prosecutor's not. And they were themselves the victims of crime. We had another neighbor whose son was carjacked, car wrecked. And they finally caught who did it. And they reduced the charges down to like nothing. Let him go. I think it was like 1/10 of a whatever for the bail, for their bond out. And they're like, it's getting impossible to live here. That's what our neighbors were saying. This is a Democrat, non-Democrat issue. And this is what Republicans need to be focusing on. You know, you hear all of these, you know, accusations, GOP doesn't do enough voter outreach because they don't know how. This is how. Every law-abiding family, they don't want to have to deal with crime. City families are just like county families. They don't want to have to deal with crime. They don't want to have to deal with high taxes. They don't want to have to deal with being afraid to have their kids even ride their bikes up and down the sidewalk. They don't want to have to be afraid of any of this stuff. That is how you do voter outreach. And you ask residents, has your votes generationally for the same party, has it improved your situation? Are your taxes lower? Are your streets safer? Are your schools better? Are businesses like grocery stores able to come in and build and open and operate? Because in every Democrat city, what's the answer? You know it. It's no. That is Republican voter outreach. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up as well. And I got some cultural. Okay, I'm going to just put this on the table for you real quick. Apparently, Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland are tools of white supremacy. It's all I'm going to say. I'm going to put it there on the table. We'll. Kane's not happy. We're going to discuss when we come back.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Puerto Rico has declared an epidemic after, how do you pronounce this? Cases of this virus have spiked, according to, this is MSN. What is it?
Is it the dengue fever?
Dengue. The dengue epidemic. Yeah. It's a mosquito-borne disease. Why do we need mosquitoes again? Anybody? Why? They said from the start of the year through March 10th, there were 549 cases, 341 hospitalizations, 29 severe cases. And they said most of the cases are concentrated in like four areas, including San Juan. And they said that between 2010 and 2020, there were more than 30,000 cases that were reported from four U.S. territories, and Puerto Rico had the most. So they say it's a significant public health threat. Many parts of the world, if you have, you know, high mosquito populations as well, that's kind of, why do we need mosquitoes? Why? This is what I'm saying. Why do we need these? Feed them something else. Here, have some steak. I don't know. Feed them something else. I don't care. Stupid fish can eat something besides mosquitoes. I honestly do not know the purpose that they serve, the mosquitoes. We got three workers were charged after a mom found a baby alone inside of a Philly daycare. This is crazy. So this, how do you leave a baby? And it was a little baby too. It was little guy or little girl. It was, they said 23, 35, 22, the suspects, they are charged with endangering the welfare of a child. And, it was, this baby girl was left alone all by herself in a dark closed Philly daycare, 6 months old. Jessie Flores, where she was picking up her daughter that evening, and she said she went to pick up her daughter at 5:30, and she said that they close at 6. She arrived at 5:30, and she said she banged on the door, rang the doorbell. She had to call the police, and they had to break down the door. Fire department had to break it down, and her daughter was alone, strapped to the car seat in a dark room. Oh my heavens. Oh my Lanta. I would have burned down the whole thing. Oh my Lanta. I would have burned it all down. Oh my gosh. So they are charging three of the people. They said that the location had been in compliance. They hadn't had any violations on file, but they had no idea. They couldn't provide an answer to the parents. Like, what happened? That's horrible. And an mpox outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's worrying disease doctors. We have more in store. Culture. Stay with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Honest person, and then committed murder with that gun. Taking our guns away is not the solution. It will not save lives, because the sick, demented souls out there will always find a way to harm and kill. That's the problem we need to fix.
God love him. That's the father of fallen officer Justin Hare. And he was saying, I mean, he was saying that at the funeral service for this fallen officer, New Mexico officer, in front of the governor of New Mexico, in front of New Mexico lawmakers that had been using his son's death as a way to call for more gun control. Dana last year at the bottom of this third hour. And this was took place in Albuquerque. Officer Hare had been, he was with the Logan Police Department. And I feel like this is, how many stories of officers killed just in like the last week? Because it just struck me that this is, I think, like just in the past couple of days, like the third one we've discussed.
The media would like us to believe that crime is down everywhere when we know for a fact that it is not.
Well, they can't have it both ways. They can't say that crime is down and then guns are driving an epidemic of violence. Exactly. And that, because then we're okay, that doesn't match up. That doesn't match up. And he was doing, if you remember, it wasn't, I guess you could say it was a traffic stop. He'd only been, I think, 6 years? 5 years? 6 years in service? He was doing a welfare check on a disabled vehicle. And when he stopped behind the vehicle, the driver got out. And they had a discussion because he walked up to the passenger window. The driver exited the vehicle. And then the guy just like had a handgun, shot and killed him. It's so sad. It's sad. That's why those stops are so dangerous. I read a statistic where it said most officers, that's how, if they're going to be under fire, it's going to be through a traffic stop like that. That's just so sad. But I loved the father was like, no, you're not going to be using my son's death for your gun control messaging. And that was his message to the governor of New Mexico. That's Michelle Grisham. Remember, she's the one who, she was the governor that had been declaring that you basically can't have a Second Amendment in New Mexico anymore. I covered that. We wrote all about it. But I just can't imagine going through that such a painful time and you're having to deal with these ghouls trying to use your loved one's death and exploit your loved one's death for their purposes. So we had a message for all of them. Good on him for that. I want to, and our prayers are with that family, the Hare family. I have some culture for you. Actually, I got a couple of, let me get into two GOP headlines. First off, God love Lara Trump. Don't make any more songs. Let's not. New RNC chair. Focus on RNC chair. Focus on raising money. I know she's like a superwoman and multitasks and runs marathons. Not everyone's a singer. I'm just saying. I don't mean that meanly at all, but I'm just saying. This is a smart idea that, second one, that the Trump idea, that the Trump campaigns do. Well, it's a Trump pack. They've opened up a Biden Mart. And it is a way to compare your shopping bill, how much it's changed in 4 years. So you can go and you can shop at Biden Mart and they're going to give you a comparison, a numbers-based, fact-based, cited comparison to what you paid for your groceries 4 years ago. So far, this is the smartest thing anybody related to the campaign has done. Yep. This is smart. If you want to get mad, you know, and then like if you need something to get you amped up to go work out later, go to the site. Go and look at it and you're going to get real mad. It's Biden-Mart.com. Biden-Mart.com. America's grocery list. And you can go and you can see just, you know, you can check off stuff. You can see how much. And then you can see the percentage increase and compare your bill under Trump and then your bill under Biden. I mean, dare I check some of this? So it gives basic, just a handful of everyday things that people would get. Okay, so we're healthy. So we'll get 6 yogurts. We'll get some butter because we cook with butter too. What else do we want to get? You know, the family likes ice cream. Let's do some of that. Briskets. Right. We're in Texas. 3 pounds of brisket,
yep,
maybe?
Definitely
okay.
Briskets.
Okay.
What kind of fruits and veggies you
get? I got some limes and apples and lemons. Yeah. So you got to have lemons. Yeah, lemons. Let's do some limes too. Yeah. Skirt steak.
Skirt steak's good, actually. I like skirt
steak. Yeah. Let's get a pound of that.
Okay.
Oranges. Got to have oranges. 3-pound bag. What else do we want? What else do we want? Milk. Got to have milk for the kids. Got to get milk for the kids. The kids. Sugar.
You got eggs or anything in there?
I'm looking at my, I got, yeah. Eggs. What else we got?
Cheese.
Yeah, let's get some cheese. I'm actually starting to get nervous now. I saw a meme the other day where the woman was shopping for groceries and they were checking it out and the checker was like, okay, Michelle, stay with me. This is a big one. Okay, this is a big one right here. It's oranges. I'm getting ready to, oh, let's work together. It was hysterical. Let's just, what do we want? Any protein? Let's get some chicken. There's some chicken? Let's get some chicken too. Let's get a pound of chicken. Okay. Oh, I'm not liking this.
Uh-oh. What are you seeing?
Okay, I'm not liking this at all. So far, we got, you know, a pound of boneless chicken. We got six limes. Got, you know, a few pounds of brisket. Got some lemons, some skirt steak, oranges. Got some milk, cheese, butter, eggs. I'll give you the percentage of increase first.
Okay.
55.31%.
Are you kidding? I thought it was going to be like 25 or 30 because that's...
No.
55%?
Yeah. For these items, 4 years ago, you'd pay $54. I believe this because I grocery shop.
Yeah.
Now, and this is why I started getting nervous because I knew what it was going to be. $85. That's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Good Lord.
Yep.
We've all been seeing it. We've all been feeling it.
I'm really mad now, and I don't want to play with this site no more. That's, I'm telling you, it's a really good tool. That's the smartest thing that the campaign has done. You want to hear something dumb?
Yes.
Of course. So this is from Not the Bee. You've got, who likes, I mean, you remember Peter Pan, right? And Alice in Wonderland, right? So this is a British university. They're slapping warning labels on these two titles for colonialist narratives, which center white supremacy. Mm-hmm. They say it is a content warning and position statement, and it tells people what to be upset about, I guess, in the books. And the trigger warning, why is it? Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why is there 7 paragraphs for the trigger warning? This is at York St. John University. And this is what they say about the book. Quote, within the 150 years of children's writing, which is represented in the collection, there's a widespread occurrence of colonialist narratives which center white supremacy and racist and orientalist methods of both fictional and historical storytelling came. And as of such, the items consulted from the collection will include language and visual imagery, which is racist, and many people may find their contents upsetting and offensive. What? I'm trying to remember what was offensive about, like, Alice in Wonderland and stuff. The Cheshire Cat? I don't know. Why is everything racist? Because it's not. They've got to have something. They've got to have something to complain about. So, everything. Yeah. In addition to that, Megan Rapinoe's back. She is such a Karen. I got to tell you. So, can I be really, really honest in a non-offensive way? I don't care about being offensive. She is not my stereotype of a lesbian. Because she's too bitchy. Can I be real?
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, you're too much of a bee. I just, like, that's not my stereotype of lesbians. They usually don't really care, right? They're not like this angsty and Karen-y. I'm just saying they aren't. That is not my purview. She's mad again. She got mad because a Christian said something Christian. What? Nose. So this United States women's national team midfielder, Corbin Albert, I really wish she wouldn't apologize. She literally was talking about faith, and her faith includes same-sex, is against same-sex marriage. It's a Christian faith. Hi. Christian says something Christian. And she had posted something about her faith on, I guess it was Instagram. And then Megan Rapinoe got everybody mad at her. And people were like, way to end your career. Like, they were going to end this chick's career because she's literally posted something from her position of faith on Instagram. And they said it was anti-alphabet because it was about traditional marriage or marriage. The girl is 20 years old. So you have old hag Megan Rapinoe who gets real mad at this 20-year-old girl and goes at her. Which, and Corbin Albert should not have apologized at all. My thinking is, normally I don't like to defend cowards, right? My thinking is, though, she's like 20 years old. She's young. She's never had to experience this. What I mean, she's like, you know, they're literally, people were talking about ending her career because of this. And she had, I want to sincerely apologize for my actions on social media, blah, blah, blah. She didn't do anything wrong. She literally did nothing wrong. She was talking about how, and it wasn't even about alphabet stuff. She was actually talking about, marriage, and then it was specifically what she had said was transgender. And she thought that transgenderism was wrong. But you have the trans activists that are trying so hard to co-opt all the other letters. And then people like Megan Rapinoe, who are so desperate for attention to stay relevant, so they have to ride the next wave of outrage, seize upon it. This is so, it's sad. It is so sad. And this, and Corbin Albert's like apparently a rising star in the women's national team. I think that Megan Rapinoe's jealous of her, honestly, is what it sounds like. It sounds like Megan Rapinoe is jealous of her because she's younger and she has a huge career ahead of her. And Megan Rapinoe saw an opportunity to take a dig at a female that she views as a rival. That's what it sounds like. That's just so, like, sad. That's so sad. And this is, I don't know. Like, can we stop focusing on sex with every aspect of everything? Either play soccer or STFU. Nobody cares how you have sex. Again, you freaks, stop obsessing over it. I don't like it when it doesn't matter what flavor you are. It doesn't matter. Nobody care. It would be like it don't care if you're like straight or gay. Just stop it. Good night. Just done with it. It's overrepresented, oversaturated. Stop forcing it down everybody's throats. I feel bad for her. But at the same time, don't run away from this stuff. Don't bend the knee. The moment you do, you're done. Because an apology is not what anybody wants. They don't care if she apologizes. They're out for blood. And if they see that she apologizes, that just means that they got a wound on her. And they're going to keep going. Because it's never about reconciliation. It's about destruction. That's how hollow and shallow the motivation for these people is. It's not about reconciliation. They don't want to live in peace with you. They don't want to coexist. They want to destroy. That's the whole point. That's why they turn their back on reconciliation. So apologies are meaningless. And especially when you've done nothing wrong.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
What are you here protesting about?
I hate old white men.
I'm protesting American Empire.
The American government is funding a genocide with our tax money.
Yes,
I'm protesting the American government. Simple as that.
Why are you mad at Joe Biden?
Joe Biden is an old white man.
He's a clown.
He's supporting Israel against Palestine. That's what we're angry about.
He's racist. He's ruining the country.
He's not listening to the American people.
No genocide, Joe. The whole damn system's got to go.
Good night. So these are some folks that are upset over Joe Biden's support of what? Because he's not supportive of Israel.
It's over Democrat policies, apparently.
They're mad. Yeah, they're, I mean, mad about something. It's not because he doesn't seem to be supportive of Israel. So they're mad when they say, oh, he's funding genocide. Well, yeah, our taxpayer dollars have been going towards Hamas. That genocide, is that what you're talking about, terrorist?
Yep.
All right. Today in Stupidity, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, there are some days that there's so much stupid out there that it's tough.
You having a
to
you
make
on the struggle
a,
bus?
Yeah, it takes a keen mind to decide which stupid to bring to the public. But KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, has said this. Listen to what.
President, this is the Biden-Harris administration, have done the polar opposite, taking decisive action from the very beginning to fund the police and achieving a historic reduction in crime under his leadership.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Not only are those things false, but they're opposite of what she's saying, like complete opposite. There's been no improvements.
Yeah.
There's only been worse.
Well, and we're acknowledging we've got Dark Friday, but we got Resurrection Sunday. So I wish you all a wonderful, happy Easter. God bless. He is risen and back with you behind the mic on Monday.